This is Steve Dale's Pet
Steve
World.
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Got an issue with Fido or Fluffy? Steve Dale is here to help.
What's up? That felt pretty good, right?
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Oh, okay.
Whether your feline is missing the litter box or your canine doesn't like the mailman, call the show toll-free.
She said toll-free.
At 866-554-PETS.
They've done studies, you know.
That's 866-554-7387.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
Most of you have dogs and cats, and that's mostly what we talk about. The telephone calls I take from you at 866-554-PETS, mostly about dogs and cats. But you know what? People have other pets, and every once in a while, we do an interview about ferrets, or we do an interview about various kinds of lizards. That's right, lizards! Well, today we're talking parrots, and we're talking parrots with I'll tell you, she's known in the parrot world as an absolute hero for saving so many parrots. The thing about parrots is if we're talking about the larger species, of which there are many, they can and do live anywhere from 35 years to 80 years. Imagine a pet that probably will outlive you. I mean, really, if you are even, say, 40 years old, and that's young, right? And you decide to purchase, say, I'll offer one of the more well-known parrot species, an Amazon parrot. Amazon parrots can live 65 years. So let me do the math. If you're 40 now, are you going to live another 65 years? Well, maybe not. So where do these parrots go? Now, the lucky ones go to family members. In fact, family members they know. So it's not that much of an adjustment. And I say that, and that's, you know, parrots love their flock. Just like our dogs and cats love their family members. So they absolutely know that there's a change, and sometimes they don't do well with that change. But those are the lucky ones. So many are given up. So imagine losing your family. Now that that's an older bird, who wants to adopt an older bird? Maybe not a whole lot of people even want to adopt a bird. So they end up at the Gabriel Foundation, created by our guest, Julie Weiss-Marad. And we will talk about the work they do. We'll also talk about parrots. And, you know, when we talk about dogs, for example, there's such variation, right? I mean, there's such a difference, obviously, between a Chihuahua and a St. Bernard. They are, in fact, there's no species on the planet that has so much variation, but it's all the same species. Parrots, we're talking about all these different species. And some are, in fact, most have a lot of the wild in them still, even if they are born in captivity, which is what we want to see. We don't want to see them taken from the wild anymore. All of that, and I'm sure much more in our conversation with Julie Weiss-Marad, which I'm very much looking forward to. We ought to celebrate. February is Pet Dental Health Month, and we will do just that. We'll take your phone calls, 866-554-PETS. And if you're shivering, you're not alone. I mean, what a week, huh? Well, the east part of the country is still feeling that. Well, what about our pets? And how dangerous is it when the temperatures fall? There, you know, I talk about cold weather all the time, but when we're talking 20 below zero without a wind chill, and by the way, do our pets even feel wind chill? I'll talk about that all as well. 866-554-PETS, toll free. 866-554-7387. Behavior questions about your pets. I am here to answer them. Cheryl in Illinois, welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I have a Pomeranian. Her name is Wicket, and she's about 8 years old. She's developed this kind of cough.
Pardon me.
Yeah, kind of like a barking seal. It's not something that's constant.
A barking seal?
Yeah, you know, or a honk, like a goose.
Like, what does that sound like?
Oh, gosh.
Well, I won't know. I'm not sure of that. Do that one more time. Very nice.
Yeah,
and you're calling because you're not sure if your dog thinks... There you go. If Wicket thinks that Wicket's really a seal, or...
I'm not sure if she's having a problem or not.
How old is your Pomeranian?
Well, let's see. She's about 8 years old, And she's been groomed recently, so I don't think she's having hairball problems. But sometimes it sounds a little bit like that.
Yeah,
know?
Dogs generally don't have hairball issues. It's our friends on the cat side of the coin that have that problem. And often when we think it's hairballs, you know, for a cat that constantly, every day, is upchucking, it's probably not a hairball, it's something else. And in your dog's case, very likely something else, since dogs don't have hairballs. I'm not sure what it is. It sounds like a reverse sneeze.
Oh, okay. I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. So, you know what I would do? Not that your impression isn't spot on. Of course it is.
Uh-huh.
But if you can, I would videotape what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Because at the veterinary office, your dog will never recreate it. And it could be a collapsing trachea. But your dog might be, when your dog was younger or at any point in time, did you use one of those choke collars?
Oh, no.
Good.
No, not on Wicked. I've always had a harness on her.
Good, good. Yeah. Because dogs that have that in general, even larger dogs, later in life can develop problems with their larynx as a result. Collapsing trachea is another story. I mean, that's sometimes a genetic thing, and it happens more often in smaller dogs. But it can be anything or really nothing at all. I would videotape it and bring that videotape into your veterinary clinic or even email it to your vet.
Okay.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Steve.
Our telephone number is 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. We're talking parrots in just a little bit. I'll tell you, parrots are incredibly intelligent. How smart are they? We'll ask our guest about that, but they see exactly like we do. They see motion. They see colors like we do. That is not the same for dogs and cats. And I would argue the larger species of parrots, in their own way, are likely smarter than dogs and cats. And they cognitively understand things that dogs and cats don't. So, for example, you're watching the big game on Sunday, right? And your pet parrot says, "No, I don't agree with that call." Can that really happen? That could really happen. If you say, "No," odds are your bird may say, "No," the same exact way. That instant replay that you just got on your smartphone of someone encroaching in or around your home, what do you do about that? Blink cameras are the ultimate goal line defense. They're motion activated, and when your blink camera detects something suspicious, you get an alert on your smartphone with a video replay of what just happened, what Blink spotted. And now you can save 20% on all camera systems during Blink's big game sale. Blink cameras are easy to set up. They're wire-free. They run on two AA lithium batteries that last up to 2 years. And Blink's live feed option lets you monitor your home from anywhere using the Easy Blink smartphone app. No contracts, no subscriptions. And Blink works with Alexa. Let Blink watch your home while you're watching the big game with your bird. Save 20% on indoor and outdoor systems and add on cameras now through Monday, February 4th, 9 p.m. Pacific time. Visit blinkprotect.com/defense. blinkprotect.com/defense. blinkprotect.com/defense.
You're listening to Steve Dale's Pet World.
The temperatures are dropping. The snow is falling. The streets and sidewalks are ice-packed. And your dog is giving you that look. You know that look. He wants to go outside. He wants a walk. He wants you to get up off that cozy couch, bundle up, and venture out into the cold with him. What's a dog owner to do? A dog owner like you hops off that cozy couch, bundles up, and takes your dog outside with joy. Why? Because you love your dog. And you use Safe Step SurePaws Ice Melter, designated a safer choice by the US EPA. Safe Step SurePaws quickly melts ice around your home and is less likely to harm your pet's paws or your vegetation. And because it uses magnesium chloride, it's better at melting ice and safer for your family and your pets. Used correctly, you'll need significantly less Safe Step SurePaws than rock salt to achieve the same results, so it's more cost-effective too. Melt the ice around your home safely this winter. Find Safe Step SurePaws online at safestepmelters.com or at a retailer near you.
He doesn't bite, and he has all his shots. This is Steve Dale's Pet World.
So this is the craziest thing. I mean, this winter has been mind-boggling. First of all, I don't want to get into a political or ecological discussion about global warming, but But I do get these emails saying, well, how can they call it that if it's been so cold? Well, it should have been called climate change to begin with. So whoever the marketers were behind, there were no marketers, there were scientists that said this is, and you know what? Big picture, this is what is happening. So I believe winter's far from over, so we will see. But by the end of winter for most of the country, despite a week of awful cold weather, this could be one of the warmest winters, depending on where you happen to live. We're heard all over the country, but overall, that seems to be the case. And right now, part of the country is freezing. I mean, really freezing. So what about our pets? If it is that cold outside, listen, when it's below zero, even Malamutes, Huskies, St. Bernards, those dogs that were really bred to be in cold weather, they weren't bred to be in weather quite that cold. Combined with the fact that most of our dogs generally spend most of their time indoors, so they're not acclimated to that kind of weather either. And the big question that I get asked all the time is, do dogs feel wind chill? And the answer is the same as we do. They don't look at the number and then get terrified before they go outside, but they feel it the same way we do. So what should we do to protect our dogs? And what should we do when our dogs have to do their business and kind of really don't want to do it and should be inside most of the time? Listen, if you have a toy poodle or a Maltese or one of those very small dogs, they absolutely feel the cold. They have no way to control their body temperatures if it falls below freezing, let alone below zero. They need a coat or two on, even to go outside just for a moment to do their business. And then how do you convince them to do that? I mean, can you blame them for not wanting to go to the bathroom when it's that cold and that windy and perhaps that snowy out all at the same time? Here's a little tip, just a secret between us. Activity seems to motivate our bladders and our bowels to do what they were meant to do. So generally, when it's really cold out, the dogs just sit on the couch, lazing around all day. So get them active before you take them out. Take a toy, whatever that toy is that they like the most, and play with them for a couple of minutes. First of all, at least they're getting some exercise that way. But moreover, that movement will hopefully motivate their bodies physiologically to go to the bathroom, which is what we want them to do. The reality is we may have to take them out more often. You know, they may do number one, but not do number two because it's just too cold out to do both those things outside. Or you may let them out the doggy door, just open that back door, and they run outside and they just stand there because it's so cold. It's like, what the heck am I doing out here? Sadly to say, you may have to take them out on a leash as if they were a puppy and motivate them, whatever term you used when they were a puppy, like go potty, do your business, whatever. Go back to using that term, take a very special treat in your pocket and give them a special treat for going and for doing their business. And they deserve a reward if they do it in this crazy, crazy weather. Other dogs will just sniff around and run around. You think they did their business. You're not paying attention. They come back in the house and they didn't do it outside, but then they got to go. So they do it inside and you yell at your dog, don't do that. Just keep an eye on your dog. Or as I say, best of all, I hate to say it though, be out there with your dog on the other end of the leash as if your dog was a puppy all over again. Remember, our dogs do get frostbite. Oftentimes we notice it on my blog, stevedale.tv. I bullet point what the signs of frostbite are, but there can be minimal frostbite as well. It's just very minimal. I don't even know whether a veterinarian would call it frostbite, but it certainly is absolute discomfort, and you never want your dog to get to that point, all described in the story I wrote on my blog, which is stevedale.tv. Coming up next, a conversation about parrots. How smart are they, and how smart are we compared to those birds?
Steve Dale's Pet World, a real pet expert giving advice about real pets. Yeah, we're keeping it real.
Julie Weiss-Marad is the CEO and president of the Gabriel Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization that helps to rescue all sorts of parrots, big ones and little ones. And I suppose that one of the reasons, Julie, why these birds land at your facility is people don't understand what they got into in the first place.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, when you have an animal that can live to be 80, 90, or 100 years old, as many of our senior citizens are, that's a lot to plan for.
That was actually funny. And people, the parrot family are our citizens. That's the family scientifically that parrots fall under. And you said senior citizens. And I like, I may be the only one who got that joke, but I love it. All right, now. That's very good.
Yes, and so
one way to avoid some behavior problems from occurring in these birds is providing an enriched environment. I mean, these birds, I don't even know that we would call them, even if they're raised in captivity and born in captivity, I don't know that we'd yet call most of them. Budgies would be an exception, but I don't think most of them or cockatiels could be an exception, too. But I don't know that we'd call the others domestic, really. But what we do know is that they're intelligent. We do know that they are a social, they're all social species. And we also know that we're talking, so dogs are dogs, whether it's a little Chihuahua or a big Great Dane. Parrots, that we've got, I don't know how many, but dozens and dozens of different species that are pets, and they all have different needs. But one of those needs they all have in common, I believe, because they're so smart, is an enriched environment. Tell me if I'm right about that, and then explain how you do it.
Well, and you're absolutely right, because life for a parrot in the wild is very different than life for a parrot in our homes or in a zoo environment. And one of the things that we talk about is, you know, here, it's kind of like in our homes being on a cruise ship. You get your meal served to you. You get your toys brought to you. Someone cleans up after you. And when you have an animal that's as intelligent as a parrot who's used to working really hard, and that is just part of its ethology, it's part of how it's developed, because it has to work for food, water, sleep, shelter, a partner, because the object in a parrot's life is to propagate, but that's the wild. But inside our in our homes and where parrots are kept in captive environments, you know, we kind of go back to the old way. Well, what do we provide? And then one of the things that we are, information that we are provided all the time by someone wondering what they can get their bird to do is, my bird won't play with anything. But what I want to clarify during this opportunity is enrichment isn't about the things that we give our birds, because we could give every day and maybe they won't like it. But it's about engagement. What engages our birds to be interactive, to be motivated, and to want to use their skill set to fill their time with activities that keep them busy, psychologically stimulated, and healthy.
All right. Now, I know that varies from bird to bird, but we only have less than a minute. So rattle off just some ideas of what might work for some birds.
Chunks of wood, untreated kiln-dried white pine, drill a hole in it, hang it from a piece of sisal, or a small piece of chain. Flip-flops. We adore flip-flops. When they're on sale, we take them, we get them, we cut them into a bunch of pieces, we put them on a stainless steel skewer, we layer it with cut-out pieces of cardboard, cut-out pieces of kiln-dried white pine. We may put some strips of polyfleece on there. We even use the bird kongs, the small bird kongs. Birds love those. And also, food can be an enrichment. Instead of just offering your bird food in one dish, hide it. Use those little McDonald's ketchup cups. Put them in little tiny, like water dispensary cups. You can bury things in a box. And we have become box collectors at the Gabriel Foundation. We go through about 100 boxes a day, and we fill them from pine cones, from packing material, to cut up phone books, to cut up swim noodles, to Cheerios to little bit of treats to paper towel rolls.
All of that, Julie, all of that sounds great. I know there are many more ideas. To learn more, where do people go?
They can come to our website, GabrielFoundation.org.
That's a great site. Julie, thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Your phone calls next, 866-554-PETS.
Oh, don't worry, he's been fixed. Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Let's go to the phones. On the telephone now is from Tennessee, Richard. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
I have a cat that every time I fix my mulch and my flower bed and getting it looked good, he goes over there and makes a big litter box out of it all along the mulch.
Hmm. What is he using as the litter box exactly? The mulch itself?
The mulch, yes. Not the flowers or the dirt or anything. It's the mulch. And somebody told me to dump citronella, and maybe the citronella would keep him away or keep him out of it.
Maybe.
But it only works for a day or day and a half, 2 days, and then he's right back in it.
Right, or it rains out, and then, you know, you have to start all over. Where did you get this cat from?
It was a stray cat that was sick, and I just took it in and you know, got it fixed, got it healthy, and got it fixed. And
good for you. Have you thought about keeping this cat indoors, period? Then you don't have the problem.
I'm not really a fan of cats and dogs in the house. I take care of a lot of...
Why wouldn't you... Hold on a second. Why wouldn't you be a fan of a cat being in the house? Because... You clearly care about cats, so here's what can happen to the cat outside. It can use your neighbor's mulch or garden as a litter box. To me, that's being a rude neighbor. It can kill birds and other wildlife, and that's, like, you know, not necessary. It's sort of not fair to those birdies. In addition to that, for your cat's benefit, can get diseases from other cats. The number one cause of death in indoor-outdoor cats is that big predator called a car. That kills cats. Where you are, there could be coyotes, maybe even birds of prey if your cat's a smaller cat. There are lots of things that your cat can get into that your cat shouldn't get into. When it gets cold enough outside, it's what your cat goes under, which could be a car hood, and then someone goes to start their car, and your cat is then no longer alive, perhaps. I mean, there's just so much, and I'm just beginning that list. There's a much longer list.
See, I'm kind of a sucker because there's like five or six cats that I've gotten fixed. Every time one wanders up, I take it to the vet, get them fixed, get them shots, get them taken care of. So there's just not one cat that I take care of. I take care of five or six cats, and they come home, eat, hang out, get watered.
Yeah.
Listen,
you're a good guy for doing that, and I appreciate that. What you can do is set up mulch somewhere else, maybe, since at least this cat and probably some of the others like mulch. You could set up mulch somewhere else, perhaps, in your garden, and introduce your cat to that place, and hopefully your cat will go there if you make the other place unacceptable. Now, the places have to be kind of fairly close to one another. And also the cat has to know the other place exists. And then the original place that you don't want the cat to go, the citronella, if that works for a few days, that might be enough because your cat's not going to hold his or her legs for 4 days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So having it work for a few days will work. You could also try lemon peel or orange peel. Cats don't like citrus. And by putting enough of that out, if other critters don't eat it up who do like it, then that could do the trick as well. But just make it unacceptable in some way. Another way to do it might be I've had people call me and say, we blew up balloons and we put it around that area. Looks very weird and festive. I'm not sure which, to your neighbors, but nevertheless, that might keep the cats away. Putting rocks on it, but I'm not sure that would help your mulch at all, you know? So whatever you could do to keep the cats away for a couple of days, if you give them an alternative place to go, maybe they'll then go to that alternative place.
So I try to put a litter box on the porch. You know, where they, I feed them on the porch.
What did you put inside the litter box?
It just dawned. I mean, I put litter, but maybe should put the mulch.
Yeah, maybe. Yep. It seems to be what at least this one cat and maybe the other cats like. So well, if that's the case, I would do that.
None of the other cats use the mulch. It's just they all go out in the woods, and you can see them using the bathroom in the woods and
right.
and the wood line. It's just this one cat. It's just him that does it. None of the other ones do it.
Yep. I think you're totally on target. That's what I would try first if it were me.
Put the mulch in the litter box.
Yeah.
Yep.
At a place, you got it. A place exactly where this cat hangs out. So you know
yeah.
the cat will notice it, and at the same time make the other place that this cat has been using unacceptable. Okay.
Yes. Well, I appreciate it. I think that's going to help me.
I hope it does. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
I love when your email questions are just like absolutely perfect, and this is perfect in so many ways. You know, people go to an animal shelter and they adopt a kitten, which is a wonderful thing. But I have a more wonderful thing based on this question, and that's next. We talk to you by taking your phone calls, 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387, or you can email steve@stevedale.tv. Two very different instant replays. Instant replays during Big Game Sunday. And that instant replay you just got on your smartphone of someone encroaching in or around your home. Blink cameras are the ultimate goal line defense. They're motion activated. When your Blink camera detects something suspicious, you get an alert on your smartphone with a video replay of what Blink spotted. And now you can save 20% on all camera systems during Blink's Big Game Sale. Blink cameras are easy to set up. They're wire-free and run on two AA lithium batteries that last up to 2 years. And Blink's live feed option lets you monitor your home from anywhere using the Blink smartphone app. No contracts, no subscriptions, and Blink works with Alexa. Let Blink help watch your home while you're watching the big game. Save 20% on indoor and outdoor systems and add on cameras now through Monday, February 4th, 9 p.m. Pacific time. Visit BlinkProtect.com/defense. BlinkProtect.com/defense. BlinkProtect.com/defense.
You're listening to Steve Dale's Pet World.
It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry, a new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait, vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
He's off leash and running free right here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Before the snow and ice pile up on your streets and sidewalks, think about keeping your family members, both human and furry, safe. Melt the ice, prevent those slips and falls, and protect your pet's paws with Safe Step Sure Paws, designated a safer choice by the US EPA. All natural and environmentally friendly, Safe Step Sure Paws ice melter is effective, fast-acting, and salt-free. And the best part? It's less likely to irritate your furry friend's paws. Find Safe Step Sure Paws ice melter at a retailer near you.
The only radio show for the whole family that often advises using toys with feathers.
I miss my little kitty cat.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Next week on the show, we are talking about cat-friendly veterinary practices. You know, I've been talking about that around the country with Dr. Elizabeth Collarin, and the both of us happened to, what was it, last weekend? Appear in Chicago at the Windy Kitty Cat Cafe. So here's what happened. Windy Kitty adopts out shelter cats from the municipal facility in Chicago, Chicago Animal Care and Control. But Chicago Animal Care and Control, especially in the summer, gets a lot of kittens. And they just don't have enough volunteers or enough staff to care for them all. I mean, that is the sad reality, not only in Chicago, but in many places around America. So what do you do? Well, there's a fostering network, and taking care of kittens is not an easy task. At a very young age, in fact, they need 24/7 care, you know, pretty much. So it's a very labor-intensive thing to do, and you have to know what you're doing. So Windy Kitty Cat Cafe said, you know, we're saving these adult cats, but we want to save more kittens too. So we're going to build a kitten nursery. Now, to do that, like to do anything, takes money. They did a GoFundMe thing, and they raised a fair amount of money, but they still had a gap. Purina said they happened to hear about it through someone we know and love. So when I told Purina about it, Purina said, let me write a check. Big companies can do that. And they did. And they filled in the gap. You know, and they, here's what I mean by that. You know, big companies get a rap so often in our world, having the pet industry, but beyond that. And sometimes deservedly so. But big companies are run by individuals, right? And these individuals at pet-related companies, they're there for a reason. They're there because they care about pets. That is the case, I happen to know, at most of these companies, including Purina. And they just instantly did it. And they did the right thing. But they said more than that, you know, we have Dr. Colleran and you, Steve, speak to veterinary schools and to veterinarians at conferences. Why don't you do a talk for the general public? And that's what we did. It was so much fun. It was great. And, you know, the people that come out to things like that certainly care very much about cats in a way that is above and beyond many. So thank you all for coming out. And in fact, next week, Dr. Colleran, we captured her. She was there, so we said, we're going to talk to you. So we've done that, and next week we're going to talk to her on this show about cat-friendly veterinary practices and what they are all about.
The Pet Health Minute, brought to you by the maker of NexGard, a Foxaloner.
Cold weather may stop ticks, but don't count on them stopping for long, and we should not stop giving our dogs their monthly protection. It only takes a day or so of warm weather to get the ticks moving again, according to Dr. Thomas Mather of the Tick Encounter Resource Center.
A lot of people like to stop for some reason. If you don't see a tick for a few days or a week, they think tick season is over. I watched the Super Bowl. It was 2 degrees in Minnesota. We got a tick the next day from somebody. They had it on their butt cheek, they said. And it had to be cold in Minnesota. So where did that tick come from? So they're out there.
Well, that got a little personal. But now you know the ticks are out there. But that doesn't mean your dog has to be their next meal. Speak with your veterinarian about an appropriate tick control product for your dog. That's today's Pet Health Minute.
Protect your dog with the vet's number one choice, NexGard, a Foxaloner. Reported side effects include vomiting, itching, diarrhea, lethargy, and lack of appetite. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures. See your veterinarian, visit NexGardForDogs.com, or call 888-637-4251 for full prescribing information.
Three simple words.
You got mail.
Woohoo!
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.
Dear Steve, now that our elderly two kittens have passed away, we're thinking of adopting a kitten. The local shelter suggested two kittens who are not littermates. Is this a good idea? From Connie in Maine. Connie, that's a great question, and one we've been talking about increasingly not only on this show, but I think in the world of shelter medicine, this has become more a thing. In fact, many animal shelters, and I endorse this idea, say adopt two kittens, littermates, at the same time for a variety of reasons. First of all, statistically, and I know this doesn't completely answer your question, but I'm getting there. So statistically, most people who adopt kittens are going to have a cat or maybe more than one cat at home. So those cats are probably, maybe not, but again, statistically, tend to be older, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 or older than that even. So you bring in a kitten into a household with an older cat and the cat says, this kitten is crazy. I can't even deal with this. And then they don't get along. They are more likely to get along if a kitten has somebody else to play with and isn't always driving that other cat crazy. Well, some other cats, again, don't mind being driven crazy and actually welcome the fun. But most say, oh, my gosh, this is too much for me. Maybe when that cat was a kitten, it would have been fine. But that cat is now 8 years old and it's not fine anymore. But you bring in a litter mate, and you know they're going to get along well together because they're litter mates. But your question is, well, what if they're not litter mates? So if they've been getting along well at the animal shelter, so a lot of shelters now are cageless shelters, or at least mostly for cats. So there's no barriers and the kittens are playing together if that is the case. And if that facility knows these kittens have gotten along great, then it absolutely makes perfect sense. Now, to bring in one kitten from one shelter, one kitten from another shelter, I do have some caveats. First of all, that they're both absolutely cleared as far as health concerns go, because, you know, kittens can carry things and they seem okay. And then you bring them home and they break out with whatever it is that they break out with. See, the likelihood of that is less if there isn't as much stress, which is the case if they've been getting along together at this one facility, littermates or not, for some time. So if they're from two different places, then maybe I would think twice about it. But still, if they're young enough, introducing them is a cinch compared to introducing a kitten to an older cat. So still, be careful, but it's still a good idea. So the answer to your question is yes, with some care, no matter how you do it, Connie, it is not only a good idea, but potentially a great idea. Email your questions, and I hope you do that, to steve@stevedale.tv. Coming up next, I want you to all open wide. We are celebrating Pet Dental Health Month. Woo!
Officially sanctioned by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
This is Vets on Pets.
That's where Steve talks to the vets about your pets.
Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit.
Dr. Todd McCracken, Veterinary Services Manager at SIVA Animal Health, has his party hat on because February is National Pet Dental Health Month. It's an important thing really year-round. I'm glad there's 1 month to focus on it. But in my world, it should be 12 months a year, Dr. McCracken.
It's probably one of the most important things that I faced in practice. I own Yorkies, as you know, Steve, and they're highly predisposed to dental disease. So I view February as really the month to educate owners about the importance of dental health and, again, getting their pets into that veterinarian to have that taken care of and, again, consult with about the products that are available.
You know, until, I don't know, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 years ago, we never really thought much about dental health with our pets. So relatively speaking, it's kind of a new thing. So I have lots of questions to ask you about it. First of all, you mentioned Yorkshire Terriers and our cats in the same bucket. Why do cats and smaller dogs have more dental problems?
Well, those small dogs have their teeth that are closer together. They sometimes have retained teeth. There's just a lot of issues that come with those smaller breed dogs. My dogs get their dentals twice a year. Many dogs get a dental cleaning only once a year. But there are products that are available to help reduce the amount of tartar plaque accumulation so that perhaps we can have less dentals being performed. And I think the other important thing is when they do have a dental performed, that it's an easier process, allow them to be under anesthesia for less time.
Mm-hmm. All really very important. So prevention is a good thing. The product I want to start with is one that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, I understand people just aren't going to do it, and that is brushing their pet's teeth.
Sure. My wife, when we first got our Yorkie, she said, is there anything we can do to reduce the bad breath, the dental disease? And I said, yes, you can brush their teeth on a daily basis. And she said, we should do that. It took about a week for her to realize that wasn't as easy of a process. And again, the compliance just went down and she wasn't doing it. So we looked for other alternatives that would, again, help with reducing the dental disease, but yet not have her brushing the teeth on a daily basis.
And what are some of those alternatives?
Well, there are water additives. Our company actually manufactures a product called Cleansident. It's a water additive that you can add to the water, reducing the amount of biofilm or that bacterial accumulation, thus reducing tartar plaque accumulation.
Reducing also bacteria that can course through your pet's blood system, and that can cause all sorts of problems.
Sure, and we want to make sure that as much as possible, we're trying to reduce that biofilm so that we don't get that tartar accumulation, because as that accumulates and it progresses, you will break down the actual attachments that you have of the tooth in the tooth root, and now we expose into that bloodstream, as you talked about.
Dogs love chewing on things. Can that be helpful?
Absolutely. Certainly the mechanical process of reducing the tartar accumulation. But there are also products available, and we just came out with a brand new one called Clensidents Breakables that have actual products on them that can reduce that biofilm. So as they're chewing on that rawhide, we're reducing that biofilm, not only from the mechanical process, but also with other enzymes that are available to try and reduce the accumulations.
I want to talk about this product a little bit. So it's like, or it is rawhide?
It is a rawhide. It's a little bit different. We actually put the products on the surface. So they don't require them to actually chew it in order to get those products into their system and into their saliva. So it's a little bit different than some of the other products that are on the market right now. The other major difference in that product is it's a breakable. When I ran the emergency hospital, it was always a concern as dogs began to chew those rawhides, they became smaller and smaller, that now they got small enough that they could swallow them in whole and it would get stuck somewhere in their gastrointestinal tract.
Which really does happen.
Sure, absolutely. I saw those on a consistent basis at the emergency facility.
All right, again, the name of that specific product, because it's new. I like talking about new. It's called
Clensident Breakables.
All right, Dr. Todd McCracken, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
So here's a homework assignment for you for next week. I want you, if you're on Facebook, most of you probably are, I want you to go to fan pages. Or just pages, it says, and type in my name, Steve Dale, and then like my fan page. I would like it if you happen to do that. Next week on the show, we are talking about something I like very much, in fact, feel very passionately about, and that is cats not being treated as second-class citizens. Even though cats are more popular than dogs in America, historically, they've not been treated as well. We'll talk about that next week and how that is changing.
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.
Be good to your pets, they'll be good to you. We'll talk to you next time.
We're always standing by to take your call at 866-554-PETS or email steve@petworldradio.net.